Thanks for the introduction, and good morning, everyone. Shade affects approximately a quarter of all our managed turf grasses. When we think of shade, it's usually involving either neutral shade caused by a shade structure or altered shade caused by tree canopies. This can cause changes in physiology and morphology of turf grasses. These changes can be even more drastic in C4 turf grasses or warm season turf grasses because of its anatomy, which requires full sun to reach light saturation. Shade, when we talk about shade, is basically lower light environments. And if we think about it that way, pretty much all of our managed turf grasses can fall into that category because low light environments can also be caused by things such as cloud cover or day length. So when we think of light, what we're looking at is how that plant sees light. And our turf grasses see it through photosynthetic photon flux, or PPF. So all these photons that are coming into a certain area at a given time, which falls within the photosynthetically active radiation range, or PAR, which is 400 to 700 nanometers. And these measurements are reported in micromoles per meter squared per second. Daylight integral is another measurement that is used in a lot of other fields and has been gaining popularity in turf grass. And what this is a compilation of all those instantaneous PPF measurements over the period of 24 hours and is reported in moles per meter squared per day. So why are we talking about DLI and what are some of the benefits? Light transmittance through greenhouses has been reported anywhere from 30 to 75% depending on its structure. Now, if we are doing shade research in a greenhouse and trying to compare that to field studies, 70% shade in a greenhouse is not going to be the same, not going to be the same light quantity as 70% shade in the field. DLI has also become very easy to measure. New technology, such as shown on the screen, you basically press a button, you come back over after a 24-hour period, and you have a fairly accurate measure of DLI. DLI also excels in looking at the changes in light intensity due to seasonal, regional, and latitudinal differences. This map shows average DLI across the United States in between the months of June and December. If you'll notice, let me see if I can get this. Yeah. So these changes across the United States occur in these north to south bands. The highest light intensity being in the west, the lowest light intensity being in the east in the month of July. A lot of this is due to a lot of the weather patterns that occur in the eastern United States during the summer months. Moving to December, you notice these patterns shift to east-west bands, and most of that is influenced by day length caused by those latitudinal changes. So for example, if you're doing shade research in California, it's not going to be the same. You're not going to get the same number as a shade research in July just due to those light quantity differences. DLI requirements, some of them have been calculated for some warm season turf grasses. The DLI requirements is that light required to maintain acceptable turf grass quality under those conditions. And they can range anywhere from 32.6 moles for Tiff Eagle hybrid Bermuda grass down to 18 moles for Celebration Bermuda grass. When starting this research, we wanted to expand on that body of research and look at light integral requirements for turf grass throughout a variety of different applications, ranging from golf courses to also home lawns. So what we did was conduct a DLI screen for many of our common warm season turf grasses. 12 different cultivars were included. These were grown over a two-month duration at four different shade levels, trying to get that shade gradient to look at that breaking point where a minimum acceptable turf grass quality can be obtained. Three different temperature regimes we're using to see kind of the influence of daily light integral and how those requirements change over the course of the year. So this graph represents our summer averages for two trials. And basically what we saw was our Bermuda grasses had the highest daily light integral requirements, starting at 22 moles, and our Zoysia grasses and St. Augustine grasses had the lowest DLI requirements. Really no surprises there when you look at, the body of research that has been done in shade. These coordinate very nicely with those. However, what we did not take into account was the effect of a lot of cultural practices on these DLI requirements. Now, in particular, mowing height. when we make recommendations, it is by that by increasing mowing height, we can either maintain or improve turf grass health under low light conditions. And this research, again, this research has been done in Tipway Celebration and Tiff Eagle, and those results are according to that research, in that higher turf grass quality can be maintained under higher mowing heights when grown under low light environments. The objective of our study was to determine the daylight integral requirements for six form season turf grasses grown under two different mowing heights. The cultivars that were chosen were five different Bermuda grasses and one C. short pass palin. The differences between those was the first three that were chosen, Tiff Eagle Champion and Jones Dwarf, are greens type turf grasses, and the low and high mowing height chosen reflect the recommended ranges for that application. The three bottom ones, Tipway Celebration and Sea Dwarf, represent more of a fairway type, in that the low mowing height was what was seen on the fairway, the high mowing height more of a rough situation. The higher mowing height also coordinates with our mowing heights that were selected for our initial DLI screen. This was set up in an isolation house in the turf grass Envirotron in Gainesville, Florida. A two-month duration was used throughout the spring of 2014, using day-night temperature averages of 27 to 21 degrees Celsius. It was set up as a split plot design, with the main plot being shade, using three different replications. Four different shade regimes were utilized, using approximately 0, 30, 15, 70% shade cloth, suspended, again, over those turf grass canopies. Due to the high DLI requirements that were seen in previous research with these ultra dwarf Bermuda grasses, supplemental lighting was used, using high pressure sodium ballasts with 1,000 watt bulbs suspended approximately 1 meter above the turf grass canopy with a photo period of 12 hours. Now, these things get really hot and they produce a lot of energy, so we wanted to see the effect of that, all that heat being put off on, you know, turf grass canopy temperatures. We measured those. What was recorded was that temperature was reduced by approximately 13% under 70% shade when compared to full sun. And those temperatures that were observed on turf grass canopy were comparable to those which would be seen out in the field. Light distribution uniformity was also monitored underneath each of those supplemental lighting to see what we were dealing with in terms of spatial uniformity. And the distribution uniformity was measured at 87%. Data was collected weekly. Visual ratings were based on the NTEP ratings procedures. Turf grass quality was on a 1-9 scale, with 6 being considered acceptable for this experiment. Other parameters were also taken, but they will not be presented here just due to time constraints. All data was subjected to analysis of variance using Fisher's protected LSD at an alpha of 0.05, and regression was plotted using sigma plot. Moving ahead to our results. So these represent our fairway-type turf grasses grown at the highest mowing height of 38 millimeters. Notice that the x-axis are each of those light regimes measured in DLI, or moles per meter squared per day. What we noticed was, really, we didn't see a drastic decline, but except the fact that lower mowing height for our Bermuda grasses, again, began to lose quality below that acceptable level. Seashore pass palin still held on through all those light regimes. Moving to our lower mowing height at 13 millimeters, the results were a little more drastic, especially among our Bermuda grasses at that lowest light regime, where turf grass quality declined very sharply. Even in Sea Dwarf, it began to again decline below that acceptable level, and then that gradient started to pull out a little among those higher light regimes, if you notice. So this is a comparison in Tiffway Bermuda grasses between those light regimes and also our mowing heights. And what we saw was significant differences between our light regimes, again, each mowing height. When compared between mowing heights, the only significant differences that we saw in our fairway type turf grasses were, again, at that lowest light regime. And this was consistent across the fairway type turf grasses that we tested. Moving ahead to our green type turf grasses, the effects were a little more drastic. Again, this is our highest mowing height of 4.8 millimeters. You'll see this decline in quality, and it's even pulled out, especially among, for example, Jones Dwarf. You can see that decline occurring even at 38 moles per day. Much more drastic at the lower mowing height of 3.2 millimeters, in that unacceptable quality was seen for multiple turf grasses, even at that, even at much, much higher average DLI requirements. So moving ahead to a comparison of TIF Eagle turf grass, again, we saw significant differences between our shade levels for both mowing heights. When compared between mowing heights, no significant differences were seen, and again, that was consistent between each of those green type turf grasses that we did test. Daylight integral was plotted using turf grass quality taken at 56 days after the end of our experiment. It's plotted against average DLI over the course of, or the duration of the experiment. Logarithmic regression was used to fit that curve. And then we used, of course, that acceptable quality rating of 6 to kind of find that breaking even point. So this shows, again, those DLI requirements that we saw at the end of our experiment. Jones Dwarf Bermuda grass had the highest DLI integral requirements for at above high and low mowing heights, ranging from 30, approximately 40 moles to anywhere from 47 moles per meter squared per day. Sea Dwarf Fast Palin had our lowest DLI requirements at the high mowing height of 15, and Celebration at the low mowing height kind of edged out and had those low mowing heights. One of the things I would like to show you is these three values right here again reflect what we saw in those reflect what we utilized in our initial DLI screen, and those numbers were pretty close in comparing between the two. These numbers were reduced to 93% observed DLI due to those changes in light distribution in our supplemental lighting. So summarizing what we saw, really not a whole lot of surprises here. Greens-type turf grasses under either low and mowing height had higher DLI requirements when compared to our fairway-type turf grasses. However, those mowing heights for each of those applications were different. When you standardize those measurements, what we saw was 2.8 moles additional DLI or additional light quantity were needed for every millimeter reduction in mowing height in our greens-type turf grasses. When we compare that to fairway-type turf grasses, only 0.4 moles additional light was needed for every millimeter reduction in mowing height for those turf grasses. So, you know, and that, again, that's not really a surprise. So our greens-type, higher DLI requirements, but also less plasticity when it comes to changing those mowing heights because of, again, their overall need for more light. Our future research, we wanted to continue evaluating greens-type turf grasses, again, due to their high DLI requirements. If anyone here has tried to grow ultra dwarf Bermuda grasses in the greenhouse, it's not easy. So what we'd like to do is also continue with using field trials to compare those between our greenhouse data and really get a handle on DLI requirements for all these warm season turf grasses to really start utilizing them in the industry. And with that, I'd be happy to entertain your questions. Yeah, so the question is there any idea of at what point of DLI would turf grass growth or health begin to plateau? You know, it's a good question. Warm season turf grasses, again, they require, you know, full light to reach light saturation. At this point, they continue to increase. At one point, it's going to depend on that turf grass, and I think it's going to depend on the cultivation practices. Obviously, those warm season turf grasses are going to require, or those green type turf grasses are going to require a lot more. And it just depends. For example, in Florida, maximum DLI we get maximum DLI in the summer around, you know, 40, 45 moles, 50. Some of those DLI requirements that were charted are approaching those. So these turf grasses need just about all the light that they can be provided with in certain areas of the country.
Give him a round of applause.